to the preaching and teaching ministry of Marion Oaks Assembly of God in Ocala, Florida. We invite you to open your Bible as we join Pastor Tim McIntyre for today's message or Bible study.
Good morning, everyone. Shall we all stand for the reading of the Word of God? As mentioned before, it's taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2. I'll be reading from verse 1 through 20. Here beginneth the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20 and last. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. This is the word of God. May his blessing be upon it. Thank you.
I want to start today by taking a poll. I'm sure that you have probably had someone tell you this statement, which is actually kind of asking a question, and that is, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which do you want first? You've heard that before, right? So we're going to take a poll. When someone says that to you, how do you respond? Do you respond good news first or bad news first? So how many of you say, I want the good news first? Okay. How many of you say, I want the bad news first? Most people want the bad news first. The people that say they got the good news first probably want to get it so it kind of cushions the blow for the bad news. Those that want the bad news first probably say, let me get it over with, I'm going to end on a positive note. We all have different reasons why we might answer the way we do. There's no right or wrong answer. But you know, as I do, that life is full of good news and bad news. And we struggle when the bad news seems to overwhelm the good news. And I just want to encourage you to focus on the good news. That's just a word of advice for any time, every time, all year round. But especially during this time. A little while ago, we prayed for people for whom this time of the year is a struggle. And I don't deny that. I don't minimize that. I understand that this time of the year is very difficult for people. And I just want to encourage you, and as you go through those things, as you wrestle with those issues, whatever it is that's making this time of the year difficult, focus on the good news. I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying you're denying it. I'm not saying that you should deny the things that cause pain. I'm just saying focus on the good news. The title of what I want to share with you today is Good News of Great Joy. Good news of great joy. And I just want to tell you something. No matter what you may be facing, no matter what you may be going through, what the circumstances of your life may be, God's good news is always better than any other bad news that you might receive or that you might have going on in your life. You may not feel that way all the time, but it's the truth. God's good news is always better than any bad news that you have to deal with. So good news of great joy. Now, if you were here this last Wednesday night, you might be saying, Pastor Tim is using the same scripture that Lynn used. He's talking about the exact same thing, but I'm not. Because Wednesday night, Lynn used this scripture and he talked on good tidings of great joy. I'm talking about good news of great joy. There really isn't any difference in the title. But I will tell you, I did listen to his Bible study, did a great job, but what I feel like God has led me to share with you, it goes in a totally, completely, mostly different direction than what he did Wednesday night. If you missed his Bible study Wednesday night, go back and listen to it. It was really good. So, good news of great joy. And I just want to tell you that that statement, good news of great joy, taken right from our text, is the theme behind the Christmas story. All the things that you know and have heard and experienced about Christmas, the real theme behind Christmas is good news of great joy. He read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, and it begins by talking about Mary and Joseph and their trip to Bethlehem, and they traveled 60, 70, 80 miles to get there. Why? Listen to Lynn's Bible study, you'll understand. Okay, I'm not going to dig with that, but deal with that. They went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and they ended up having their baby. Sounds so inclusive. Mary had the baby. I'm sure Joseph was supportive. She ended up having her baby in a stable. At least we assume it was a stable, because it says there was no room in the inn, and it says that she laid the baby in a manger. Just some little trivia things. Many times people talk about the manger scene, that's appropriate, and they refer to the stable as the manger. The stable's not the manger. Y'all know what a manger is? A manger is a feeding trough. So it's basically saying that when Mary gave birth, the only place she had to lay her child in somewhat comfort was a feeding receptacle for probably goats, maybe cows. They had a lot more goats than cows, okay? We often think of the manger scene, you know, you've got the stable and you got the star shining above and you got the shepherds and the animals and the wise men and all. And it all looks so nice and pristine. And I don't want to pop your bubbles, but I tell you what, it probably was a dirty, nasty place. I'm sure Joseph and Mary made it as nice as they could, and they cleaned up as best they could, okay? But remember, Mary was 9 months pregnant, ready to give birth. I don't know how much she could have done at that time, although women are capable of some pretty awesome things. But no matter how hard they tried, it still was a dirty, nasty place. And say, this pops our bubble about Christmas, but I want to tell you, that's the story of Christmas. God comes down into the dirty, nasty stuff in our lives and makes a difference. That's why it's good news of great joy. And so Mary and Joseph, they go, they have the baby. But today I want to focus so much on what happened after that. I want to focus on some other people. I want to focus on the shepherds. The shepherds. Again, we think of shepherds doing their job and these nice, white, fluffy, clean sheep. Probably not. Maybe you know, maybe you don't, but being a shepherd was like one of the worst jobs you could have. Nobody wanted it. These shepherds were watching the sheep in the fields outside of Bethlehem. Bethlehem is only a couple miles from Judea. And Bethlehem was known, one of the things it was known for was that lots of sheep were raised in the area. And that was very, very important because sheep were sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem. And a lot of them came from the area of Bethlehem. So there are lots of sheep, lots of shepherds. But as I said, shepherds had one of the worst jobs you could ever have. Nobody wanted, if you couldn't get a job doing anything else, then you might become a shepherd. If you weren't a beggar or something else. It was usually, the occupation was carried out by common people on the lowest end of the social ladder. Sometimes they were criminals, thieves, couldn't get any other kind of work. It was dirty. It was uncomfortable. Shepherds were looked down upon. In fact, there are laws on the books from that time that said that shepherds could not testify in a court of law because you can't trust what they say. I mean, this is the kind of people that are out there in the fields watching over the flocks. They're protecting the animals from thieves and wild and other animals. And so they're out there watching the sheep. It's at nighttime. And, you know, we're used to at nighttime, you go outside and there's some maybe ambient light. Of course, there's a lot more in the big cities. And we don't have a lot here in Marion Oaks. But still, there are places. But if you think about it, if you've ever been camping out away from everything, you know, and it gets dark. And they're out there in the middle of the night. Maybe they got a fire going. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And with the angel comes this bright light. Have you ever been in a dark place and all of a sudden a bright light just, boom, it's there? Totally shocks you, totally awes you, totally blinds you probably if it's shining right in your eyes. And that's the idea that's here. And it's not that the angel has this light. This is the glory of God. And whenever we see the glory of God showing up in Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, people fall flat on their face. They can't even stand. It's just amazing, marvelous. And so the shepherds have this event, and they are scared to death. In fact, the angel says, "Fear not." Now, if you look at all the stories in the Bible where an angel shows up, in most cases, if they show up in their true form, okay, because sometimes angels show up as people, and people don't even know they're angels till later on, but if they show up in their true form every single time, the first words out of their mouth are, "Fear not." Because they are, people fear them. I mean, it just scares people to death when they show up. So these shepherds are dealing with this immediate physical fear. I guarantee that they're dealing with a lot of fears on the inside too. The place that they hold in society, they're living in a place where taxes are extreme. I'm glad we don't have that today. You know, they're separated from their families, all kinds of things like that, different kinds of fears. But the angel says, "Fear not." And so this episode that starts off with this earth-shaking, not literally, but earth-shaking event that causes great fear in their hearts is going to end up, by the time we get to verse 20, which Lynn read, with them full of joy, worshiping and praising God and all excited. How does that happen? It happens because of this good news of great joy. I just want to tell you that I believe that God wants this good news of great joy to have the same impact on us. Not that we have to be scared to death to get there, but whatever it is that we're facing, whatever it is that's going on in our lives, this event that happened almost 2,000 years ago that we celebrate today, the birth of Jesus Christ, is an episode of good news of great joy that can have the same effect on our circumstances and upon our outlook on life and upon what's going on in us and our families. And that's what I want us to take a look at this morning. What was it about this good news that affected these shepherds so powerfully? What did they do? What happened? Why did this message make such a big difference in their lives that they went from fear to full of joy and excitement, worshiping and praising God? Well, it's just a very simple couple of thoughts I want to share with you this morning. And the first thing we see is that they heard the good news. They heard the good news. Let's reread verses 9 to 14. It's talking about these shepherds. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" So they heard the good news. Now, another trivia question here that has to do with Christmas. It says that the angel shows up by himself first, which is quite overwhelming. But later on, all of a sudden, there appeared with him this multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Now, y'all know what the heavenly hosts are? Okay, most people know they're angels, right? If you were to take a poll, most people say, well, the heavenly host means God's heavenly choir, but that's not what it is. God's heavenly host is God's heavenly army. The army shows up and begins to sing and praise God. So just a little trivia piece of information for you there. So this angel shows up to bring the good news, and the word angel literally means messenger. Angels are messengers from God. And so the messenger comes to bring this good news. And when we follow the stories of angels in the Bible, they always come to announce something from God, to bring some kind of news. Unfortunately, sometimes it's negative. Sometimes it's judgment. God has to pronounce judgment on them. He sends an angel to do that. But today, in this story, it's good news. Good news. Now, just that idea, just that thought, good news. We could use some good news today, couldn't we? Our country could use some good news today. You know, there's so much bad news. As we think back over this last year, what have we seen in the news? And I got to think, I was making a list, and suddenly I thought, this isn't just last year, this is every year. But if we were making a list, maybe your list would have something like this: shootings, taxes, economy, crime, violence, unrest in other nations, unrest in our nation, natural disasters. We certainly had that this year. Almost anything that is associated with the government. I mean, every once in a while we have news about the government that's good news. Don't we? I'm not sure. Anyway, almost anything about, you know, this year, every year, there's just so much bad news. I did a search last night. I went to Google. You all know what Google is, right? On the internet. And I just put in the word good news and hit search. And in less than a second, it said it got over 10,350,000,000 hits. I didn't research all of those, just so you know. But then I typed in bad news and hit search. And in less than a second, it came up with 3,900,000,000 hits. And I was surprised. Only about a third as many hits on bad news as good news. I mean, that's great. But that's certainly not the way it's reported to us, is it? And one of the reasons, I think there's a whole lot more good news out there, even apart from the gospel and apart from God. There's a lot of good stuff that's happening out there, but that doesn't sell the news. That doesn't draw people to your internet site. That doesn't draw people's attention to your blog or whatever it is. It's the bad news that draws attention. Now, I'm not minimizing all the stuff that's going on in the world, but I just want to tell you something. God has good news. And not just for 2,000 years ago, but for today. Sometimes God gets a bad rap. You know, well, God just wants to ruin your life. God just wants to spoil your fun. God's up there looking down, seeing you're having a good time, saying, don't do that. I've said this many, many times. God is up there looking down, seeing people destroying their lives and saying, listen, there's a better way. But to find that way and to pursue that way, sometimes we have to say no to our flesh, to things that feel good at the moment, but are going to bind us up and destroy us in the long run. And that's why he's got all his rules and principles and things that he shares, because he loves us and he wants what's best for us. He created us. He knows what's best for us. So even when he instructs us and he tries to limit us in ways that we don't want to be limited because it feels good right now, it really is good news because he wants what's best for us. So good news, good news. And he says, this good news from God, the angel says, is good news of great joy. Great joy. We all understand what joy is, but I love the fact that it has the word great in there. It's not just regular everyday joy. It's great joy. It's mega joy. It's supersized joy. You know, you go into the restaurant and say, you want to supersize that. Now, we know that's not good for you, but supersized joy is fine. You won't get any extra calories with that. You won't gain any extra weight. It'll be good. So God has supersized joy. You know, what kind of news brings you great joy? If we were to, again, take a poll or a response, there'd be all different answers, because what brings great joy to us is usually something that affects us specifically in a really positive way, right? I mentioned that we were with my family last week and we celebrated Christmas, and I also happened to mention that two of our subunits of our family were not there. My niece had a baby, and my nephew's wife had a baby, and when those babies were born, that was great news. And my wife and I thought that was great news, but it wasn't as great a news as it was for the baby's parents. And it wasn't as great a news for us, perhaps, as it was for my sister and my brother, because it was their grandchild that was born into the world, and for my parents, because it was another couple of great-grandchildren that were born into the world. You see, that news was good news, but it had different levels of effect on the people involved. And I just told you about it, and you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, that's great. You probably aren't thinking, oh, that's just great news, yeah. I mean, other than the fact that it affects other people, because it doesn't affect you at all. But yet, when there's something that impacts our life, something that helps us, something that benefits us in a very positive way, it becomes great news, a good news of great joy for us. And so, again, I want you to think about this. What is it that brings you great joy? What kind of What kind of news brings you great joy? And as I mentioned earlier, that's what Christmas is supposed to be like, right? Isn't Christmas time supposed to be a time of great joy? We sing songs like Joy to the World and Oh Come All Ye Faithful, Joyful and Triumphant. Repeat the sounding joy. You want to step outside the spiritual songs, you've got things like 'Tis the Season to Be Jolly, right? That's all about joy. The angels mention this joy. They also mention peace being a part of it. But you know what? For many people, this time of the year is not a time of joy, and it's not a time of peace for reasons that we've already mentioned. Difficult circumstances, you know, other losses and that kind of things. But again, I just want to encourage you that is you. Focus on the good news, because God's good news is always much better than any bad news that you may receive. But there are other reasons why this time may not be a time of great joy. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Another thing that's interesting about this good news is the angel says it's for all the people. It's for everybody. Have you ever found about something really, really, really cool and you were so excited then you found out that you didn't qualify? You know, that happens for me almost every year in a couple of weeks. Because we get into the new year and I start working on my taxes. And you say, Pastor, don't bring up taxes on Christmas Sunday. I understand, just for illustration, but we'll get past it quick. But, you know, I start working on my taxes and I think, has there been anything changed this last year that's going to save me some money, get me more taxes back? And I hear about some new deduction or some new benefit or some new something, and I plug it into my tax program and it's like, I don't qualify. Doesn't do me, and it's not good news or great joy for me. I'm sure it benefits many other people, and of course that's something that always comes up whenever people in government make some kind of change to the tax system. It benefits some and hurts other people, or doesn't benefit others, we'll put it that way. And so you got some that are happy, some that are sad. But anyway, we know what that's like, you know, and it's true in many other areas of life. You hear about something really great, I qualify, yes, all right. I don't qualify. But this good news, whatever it is, we haven't gotten to the good news yet, it's for everybody. It's for everybody. As we've seen, the shepherds got the message. They were the lowest people of society. But if you read some other aspects of what we call the Christmas story, you have the story of the Magi. Often they're portrayed as kings. They weren't kings. They were advisors of kings. Some of the highest of society got the message also. And I believe God deliberately did that and had it put in his words so that we'd know that this is for everybody. It's for the lowest of people, it's for the highest of people, and everybody in between. It's for everybody. Well, what is this good news? It's not a secret. But the content of this message, this good news that the angel brings is, for unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. For unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We're so used to hearing that. That's what Christmas is about. We celebrate Christmas. That's when Jesus showed up on the scene. If we believe what the Bible says about him, he is God, the Son of God, become man in human flesh, born as a baby because he's going to grow up and he's going to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins so that the world and those who choose to respond to him can be saved. We understand that. But what did the people back then understand? What did they think? What did these shepherds think? Because this is the message they got, and it caused them to get all excited and go do a bunch of stuff and end up being full of joy and rejoicing and praising God. Well, look at what the angel said. He says, for unto you is born this day. Okay, it's a baby. They know it's a baby. In fact, the angel's going to tell them in a few minutes, go look for this baby, or you'll find this baby is a baby. He says, a Savior. Savior, what's a Savior? A Savior is someone who delivers us, someone who rescues us, someone who takes care of a problem in our lives. And he says, this Savior is Christ, the Lord. And we're so used to thinking of Christ as being like Jesus' last name, Jesus Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name, it's a title. Christ is a very specific, particular title. It means the anointed one. And the Jewish people of this day, including these shepherds and anybody else who was a part of their culture, were waiting for the Messiah. There were prophecies throughout Scripture, the very first one in Genesis 3. After the fall, and God said he was going to send someone to take care of the problem caused by sin coming into the world, by bruising, killing the serpent, and the serpent would bruise his heel. The first prophecy of Jesus in Genesis 3. But all through the Old Testament, there were these prophecies that would add up to this, that God was going to send someone, this very special someone. And as you go through the story, you find out he's going to be a descendant of Abraham. Then a little bit farther down the line, when God establishes Abraham's descendants as a nation and the great King David, he's going to be a descendant of King David. He's going to be like David in all the good ways. He's going to far surpass David, be the greatest king ever, sent from God. And this Messiah was going to come and deliver his people. And by the time Jesus shows up and God's people are in Israel and they're waiting for the Messiah, they're desperate for the Messiah to show up. Rome has got God's people under their thumb and under their heel. The big problems with taxes were because of Rome. They were an occupied nation. They wanted to be independent. They wanted to be free. They wanted to see God's kingdom established. And all those things had been prophesied about the Messiah. The Messiah would come in and establish God's kingdom and set God's people free. He would save them and make things the way they're supposed to be. But that was only part of the prophecies about the Messiah. There were some other prophecies that said something about that this one was going to show up and was going to suffer for his people and would even die for his people. Well, the people didn't want to focus on that part. You read through the Gospels, you see all the people that have this idea that maybe Jesus is the Messiah, they're all excited because they think he's the conquering king. He's going to come in. He's going to kick Rome out. He's going to establish God's kingdom. They're going to have independence. And all the prophecies said that when that happened, there'd be prosperity and fruitfulness and blessing. That's what they were looking for. But in God's plan, you see, the other prophecies had to be fulfilled first. That this Messiah would have to come. And he would have to die to bring about that real deliverance, to bring about that real salvation. You see, if Jesus had set up God's kingdom then, it might have been a wonderful place to live, but people would still die in their sins and be separated from God. And so Jesus came first to die, that our sins could be forgiven. Now, he's going to come back again. And he's not going to be Jesus meek and mild, lowly, and all that kind of stuff that we like to think of him, especially around Christmas time. He is going to come back as the conquering king, the warrior to defeat all of sin and evil and to set up the kingdom of God. And we look forward to that day. But that's what they understood. It's like an angel, God sent an angel to say, it's good news. A baby's been born and this baby is your Savior. This baby is your Messiah. Call him Christ the Lord. And that the Lord tacked on there. We're so used to hearing that because it's Lord Jesus, Lord. But what the angel was actually saying, listen, this one that God prophesied was going to come to deliver, to do, it's actually going to be God himself. God himself. Jesus was God come down to this world in the flesh. And so this is the good news that the shepherd gets so excited about. All the hopes of the Jewish people rested in this coming of the Messiah. And the angel says, he's here. He's here. Now, it really is good news, but only for people that need a Savior. Only for people that need a Messiah. And we find that still true now. People that don't feel like they need a Messiah, they don't need a Savior, they don't need somebody to straighten out their life, they don't need somebody to help them with their problems. It's not such good news. I've used this illustration before, but it's sort of like if in your neighborhood you find out that they've cleared a parcel of land about a half mile down the road. It's a real big parcel of land. They're building this building. This actually happened a couple of years ago up on 49th. Every time I drive by there, I saw they cleared this big parcel of land, and they started building this building. And I thought, what is that going to be? It was a weird shape, and it was really big. I thought, what is that going to be? I thought it was going to be a garage, you know, where you take your cars to fix them. But then as they got farther along with it, I thought, no, it's too big. It's the wrong... I won't drag it anymore. What it ended up being is the fire station up on the 49th Avenue. Okay? I mean, it's a big building, and it's the building is just, you know, whatever. But let's say that they build a fire station a half a mile from your house. I mean, that's good news. But you know what? If you wake up one night in the middle of the night and your house is on fire, that's great news. That's great news. Well, can I tell you that spiritually speaking, our lives are on fire? And God provided the deliverance. God provided the salvation that we need through Jesus Christ. So, I want to ask you a question today. Have you heard this good news? The shepherds heard the good news. Made a big difference. Have you heard? Say, of course I've heard this story. But that's what I'm saying. Is it more than just a cute story? Is it more than just the facts that you have found are associated with Christmas on the spiritual side? We've got a whole other set of, I won't call them facts, ideas on the other side. But have you really heard it? Have you really heard it? You see, this message that the shepherds received is for us today too. We need a Savior. And God sent one. He sent him 2,000 years ago. But the things I already summarized for you that the Bible indicates and shows very clear that we are sinners separated from God. Some are worse than others, but we're all separated from God because God is a holy and righteous God. And the Bible makes it very clear that our sin separates us from Him, and it says that the wages of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual separation from God for all eternity. That same verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as I summarized earlier, Jesus came, He was born to die. His death on the cross. He didn't just come to give us good teachings, He did that. To be a good example, He did that. But He came to die, and His death paid the price for our sins. That if we put our trust in Him and what He did, that God looks down. There's a passage we studied back a little while ago on a Wednesday night, 2 Corinthians 5:21, I think it is, where it basically says that when Jesus came, God took all our sin and gave it to Jesus and took His righteousness and gave it to us if we put our trust in Him. And I just challenge you today that if you have never made that choice, if you've never made that decision, that you do that today, that you do that this season, that you say, God, I'm a sinner. And you could play the comparison. I'm not as bad as that person over there or whatever. No, God, I'm a sinner, and I'm separated from You. And I ask that You forgive me of my sin because of what Jesus did. I accept Him as my Savior, and I surrender my life to You. And the Bible says that if you're to do that, that God will save you from your sins and you will enter a relationship with God that will last forever. So anyway, have you heard this good news? Jesus is here today. He can make a difference in your life. And can I say that if you've already made that decision, which is true probably for most of us, He still can make a difference in your life. He still can. In whatever circumstances you face. At the conclusion of my sermon this morning, we're going to call the prayer team down and we're going to take a couple minutes to pray. And if you've got circumstances in your life that you need God to intervene, I'm going to invite you to come and ask God to do that. And if you want to join with one of the prayer team members so we can pray with you. If you're here and you don't even have a relationship with God, we'd love to pray with you about that too. If there's something that's causing fear in you, you know, this story is about fear becoming joy, and you'd like to be released from that fear, we'd love to pray with you about that too. But we'll come to that in just a little bit. But before I go on, let me just say this. I ask you if you've heard this message. Let's be mindful of the fact that there are so many people that haven't heard this message yet. We're a missions-minded church. We always want to be focused on people that haven't heard about Jesus. The latest statistics I was able to find last night is that 42% of the world have not heard about Jesus yet. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for the missionaries that go to take the message to them. We need to do what we can to support those who go to them. But can I tell you, there are people here in the United States that haven't heard of Jesus. That sounds strange. How can they live in the United States? But there are people. I remember when we were pastors in Memphis, there was a little boy. I think it was a little boy that came to our church, and my wife was talking to him, mentioned Jesus. He's like, I don't know who Jesus is. You just never know. Pray for those who have not heard. So the shepherds received the good news, but something else was necessary. It's not enough to just receive the good news or hear the good news. Because to be honest with you, the good news has been around for 2,000 years. Do you see a lot of joy and peace in this world?
Nope.
I mean, there is, but it's certainly not the overwhelming atmosphere. So there must be something else that's necessary because God sent the solution 2,000 years ago. And this is the second part. The shepherds, they believed the good news. They didn't just hear the good news or receive the good news, but they believed the good news. Look at verses 15 to 17 again. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Now, can I tell you something? Good news won't do you any good unless you believe it and act on it. Let me give you another illustration. Let's say that I was able to honestly tell you, and I can't. This is just a made-up story. Get that firmly fixed in your mind. But let's say that I was able to tell you, listen, the bank that we bank with has made an offer to the people in our congregation. Anybody that is willing to go to our bank tomorrow morning on Monday as a special Christmas blessing, and if you're there between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock and you ask for the manager will come out, and if you ask them for $1,000, the manager will give them $1,000. Wouldn't that be good news? It's not true. Like I said, I've warned, disclaimer, it's a made-up story. That'd be good news. Now, how would we know who really believed me? They'd be at the bank at 8 o'clock, waiting for 9 o'clock, right? They would be going into the bank, asking for the manager, right? And how would someone receive it? They would go to the bank, they'd ask for the manager, and they would ask for the money, right? They would do something about the good news. And we see that that's exactly what the shepherds did. What did the shepherds do? After the angels left, they didn't say, hey, that's really cool. And then they go back to cooking their coffee on the campfire. Said, no, we got to go check this out. If this is really true, and they must have believed it was true, or at least really hoped it was true, we gotta go find this baby. You know, the angel gave them a sign to look for. We gotta go. It says that they decided to go to see for themselves. They could have just stayed there. It says in verse 16 that they went with haste. They could have said, oh, we'll check it out in the morning. It's late. I'm tired. Let's go to sleep. We'll get up early. No, they went right then. And they searched. They searched. Can I tell you that true belief, we call it faith, it always results in actions. It always results in doing something. And that's what the shepherds did. And so they went and they searched, and the only thing they knew is they were supposed to look for a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, and that wasn't unusual. That was just something they did. When they have a baby, they would wrap the baby in strips of cloth. It was meant to keep them snug, feel secure. The belief was it would keep them from being injured because they're kind of just, you know, swaddled. You know, that's where we get the term from, okay? And who knows how many babies there were in Bethlehem? We don't know. It wasn't a big city. It wasn't a small city. But there was a key here, a key thought. They would find this baby lying in a manger. How many babies do you think they were laying in cattle feed troughs? Just the one. So they went looking. I don't know how long it took. I mean, you might think, well, it probably didn't take them too long. I mean, that star was right over, right? And I mean, even in the picture on the PowerPoint, you got the star. I don't think the star was there. You say, well, the Bible says the star was there. No. The Bible said that God used a star to guide the wise men. Another piece of Christmas trivia, the wise men didn't show up to the stable. I mean, we don't know exactly when they showed up. It could have been as much as 2 years later. But it says in Matthew, the story of the wise men, that they went to the house where Mary and Joseph and Jesus were. This is after Jesus was born later on when they decided to settle in Bethlehem. Tradition just puts the wise men into that story because in the Bible it's right next to it. So I don't know how they found, but they searched. You say, Pastor, you're poking all kinds of holes in my Christmas story. Just keep focusing on the good news of great joy. That's what it's really all about anyway. But they searched. They found him. We don't know how they found him. We don't know how long it took. But the thing is, they believed the good news. And again, I ask you the question, have you believed this good news? You've heard the good news. Maybe you've heard it many, many, many times. And have you done something about it? Has it changed your life? As I mentioned a few moments ago, have you come to God and say, God, I am a sinner. You sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to be my Savior. And you've put your trust in him. Has it changed your life any other way? Has it made things different? Because that's what happens when we surrender our life to God. Now I want to bring out an important thought here. Did the shepherds know and understand all that Jesus was and what he would do? No. In fact, they may have had an inaccurate idea of what Jesus was going to accomplish because of what I explained before, what they and everybody else thought the Messiah was going to do when he showed up. Even the disciples had the wrong idea. Okay? They certainly didn't know that Jesus was going to grow up and have disciples and travel around. They had no idea he was going to heal people, raise people. They didn't know that Jesus was going to die on a cross and be buried. They didn't know that Jesus would be raised from the dead. But the point is that the shepherds responded to the message they had received. And the reason I'm emphasizing that is that there may be some of you that are here today, you say, well, you know what? I've heard this before, blah, 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 but I'm still trying to get it all worked out. I'm still trying to understand it. I'm still trying to figure it all out. Now, I'm not saying that we should make decisions based on ignorance. I'm not saying that at all. We should try to understand things in every area of life as best we can. But you don't need to wait until you get it all figured out to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In fact, you shouldn't wait, because I'll tell you what, I've known the Lord, next year will be 50 years. I still don't have it all figured out. I got a lot more figured out than I did 50 years ago. Don't wait. Don't wait. They just acted on what they knew and what they did understand. So the shepherds not only heard the good news and believed the good news, and that's the basis, that's the most important part. But let me just throw in one more thought before we wrap this up, that they didn't even stop there. They shared the good news. They didn't keep it to themselves. Look at verses 17 and 18. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They spread the word. They could have kept it to themselves. I don't know about you, but I love telling people good news. I think most of us do. Unfortunately, some of us just love telling bad news too. Anyway. But we love telling good news. We take testimonies on Wednesday nights. It's wonderful. People standing up and sharing the good things that God has done in their lives, or people that they know. You know, people's lives changed. I remember a couple of years ago, it was this time of the year, a couple of years ago, that we had applied to have our church debt refinanced. And we got the news right around Christmas, right before Christmas time, that we were going to be able to get a refinance on our church debt. And it meant a significant difference in what we had to pay every single month. And it was tremendous good news. There's been a couple of times through the history of the time we've been here that we've received some major donation to the church. And that was great news. Now, not all great news has to do with money, but got to admit, some great news does have to do with money. But changed lives, healings, salvations, all kinds of great news. We love to share the good news. And I just want to say, do you share this good news of great joy? Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've received it. Maybe you believe it. Maybe it's changed your life. But do you do like these shepherds and share this good news of great joy? I was talking this morning with Chris. He's not here. Chris Hartman comes in every morning, every Sunday morning, early, 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 and sets up the sound system and locks the building and everything. Then he has to go to one of his two jobs. And he said, Pastor, I'm glad to have you back from vacation. It has been a great week. He says, I got to share with you what God did this last week. And if you come on Wednesday nights, you know Chris almost always has a testimony on Wednesday night. Right? It's always about, well, I was at work, and I talked to this lady, or I talked to this guy, you know. But anyway, he shared how two people at his jobs that he had been sharing the gospel with over the last couple weeks gave their life to Jesus this last week. He talked about a family member, I won't say who it was, that had surrendered their life to Jesus this last week, and they'd already seen tremendous change in them. We love to share the good news. Now, Chris isn't here this morning because he's on the mission field. You say, Pastor, he's on his job. You said that. Yep, he's on his mission field. Can I tell you that wherever you spend your time, that's your mission field? Where you work, at school, in your neighborhood, in your family. The question is, do you share this good news? Do you share this good news? And again, we feel like, I can't. I don't understand it all. I haven't got it all together. What if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? I got an answer for you that works for every question. If you don't know the specific answer, here's the answer you give. I don't know. That's it. Now add to it. Say, I don't know, but that's a good question. Let me go and research it, which means I'm going to go talk to Elder Lynn or Elder... No, I'm going to go and I'm going to research it. I'm going to look on the internet. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to study my Bible. I'm going to talk to my pastor. I'm going to talk to one of our elders. I'm going to get it all figured. And I will come back and give you the answer. That's a good question, but I'll come back to you. I don't know everything, but that's okay. And again, the same thing I said before, don't wait until you know everything and have it all figured out to respond to the good news. In the same way, don't wait until you know everything and have it all figured out to share the good news. Peter says, be always ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. What's the hope you have? Why do you have it? It's because God made a difference in my life. You can always share what God has done for you. What did the shepherds share? They only shared what they'd been told and what they'd experienced. That's all God asks us to do. Now, we should learn more and more about the truth so we have more and more understanding of what we can share. But you just start where you are. You share what you know about the truth and what you have experienced of the truth. God can use that to make a difference in other people's lives. So how did this wrap up? The conclusion. They returned with joy. Verses 19 and 20. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds returned. Returned where? Back into the dirty fields with the dirty sheep, around the smudgy campfire. I'm sorry, through that. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They returned with joy. They returned with worship, glorifying, praising God. Let me ask you a question. Did the shepherds' circumstances change? No indication. They went back. Campfire, if they had even had a fire. They went back to the dirty, stinky job that nobody wanted. You see, the circumstances hadn't changed, but the shepherds had changed. The good news had changed the shepherds, and the same thing can happen today. We want to be able to pray with any of you that would like prayer here in just a couple of moments. In fact, Debrail, you can go ahead and come. And I can't tell you exactly what God's going to do, but I can tell that God wants you to have joy. I can tell you that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He wants to save you from your sins and establish a relationship with Him that'll last forever. I can tell you that no matter what you face, I don't know what God's going to do about it, but He wants you to know that He's got your back and He's going to get you through it and He'll give you strength and He wants you to experience joy in the middle of it. And the good news is that maybe He is going to take care of it the way you want Him to. Maybe He is going to heal you. Maybe He is going to provide that financial situation immediately. I don't know. Sometimes He does, sometimes He has His reasons, He has His purposes, and He has His timing. But God wants to touch you. So I want you to focus on that good news, not the bad news. Trust in the Lord. If we wrap this up, I want you to imagine that the angel shows up. The angel shows up. The announcement to the shepherds. And all the shepherds go except for one. How do you think that one felt when they came back? I don't know. Maybe sorry you didn't go, maybe not even believing them. I don't know, but if we don't respond to what God wants to do, we're in the shape place of a shepherd that perhaps didn't go. A lot of different responses. I just want to encourage you not to be a shepherd that wouldn't go. So how do we respond to this today? I encourage you to really hear the good news. Look beyond the story that you've heard over and over and over again and think about what it really means. I challenge you to believe the good news. That for you, it's more than just a nice story. Believe and act on that belief by, number one, accepting Christ as your Savior if you've not done that yet. By turning to Him with whatever it is that's causing you problems and fear in your life and allow Him to take control and follow His leading. To surrender everything to Him. Trust His promises to take care of you and whatever it is that you might fear, whatever it is that's going on in your life. And I challenge you to share this good news with others. Not just during this holiday season, although there's many times unique opportunities to do that, but anytime you're given the opportunity to do so. Can we stand together? And I'm going to ask our prayer team to come. And I've asked Debrielle just to play and sing for a couple of moments. We're not going to hold you long. If for some reason it ends up going long and you got to leave, feel free to do so. But we want to take a couple of moments to just seek God and just to invite Him to work in our lives. So as she plays and as she sings and whoever else may be helping her out, if you want and need something from God today, I want to challenge you and encourage you to come. Now, if you don't want to pray with someone, just come down and stand off to the side. And just by coming, say, God, here I'm just responding to what You're speaking to my heart today. And here it is. And just begin to pour out your heart to God. But if you'd like someone to pray with you, that's what we're going to be down here for. You can share with us whatever you want, as much or as little as you want to. And we'll be glad to pray with you. If you don't feel a need to come down or whatever, I just encourage you to pray and ask God to help you to apply this message to your life. Maybe begin to pray about people you know that need to hear this good news. Maybe God wants to use you to share that with them and just begin to pray, God, give me the opportunity, give me the boldness, give me the whatever it takes so I can do this? Let's take a couple moments to respond. And if you want or need prayer for anything, come. We'd love to pray with you. Heavenly Father, we love you today. Again, we rejoice in the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd help us to truly understand and appreciate what you've done for us. God, help us to respond to it in any way that you want us to, Lord God, by surrendering to you and by living out the life that you've called us to live. Father, I pray that you'd give us the boldness, the opportunity, Lord God, the willingness to share what you've done for us with other people, Lord. It can be a little scary sometimes, especially with family members, because we got to stay close to them. God, open doors, prepare hearts. Father, touch each person that's here today. Minister to them. I pray that they would experience your great joy this Christmas season in spite of whatever might be going on in their lives. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to today's message or Bible study. For more information, please contact us at area code 352-347-3001 or visit us online. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, go to our website and click on the online giving tab. Our website address is www.marianoaksag.org.